Welcome back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Time now for Buy or Sell. Buy or Sell.
Buy or Sell. It's the NFL playoff season edition. Are we going back in time for this Buy or Sell and talk about the season that was?
A little bit, sure.
A little bit, yeah. I like this. We've just wrapped up 17 weeks of NFL football. We beg for it to come, and then it just disappears from our lives as quickly as we landed.
Too soon.
It's too soon.
Too soon.
We're done.
But regardless, the season does come to an end. So I put together a NFL 2019 season superlatives.
Got it. Okay.
You know, kind of stealing something from a certain Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. Very good.
So you just have to go through it and just let me know. There's a dozen of them. I mean, just let me know. Do you buy or sell? And just, you know, let's have some
fun.
All
right, I'm in.
Buy or sell, the most surprising award goes to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
Surprising, yeah. I didn't think he was going to be this great coming out of last season. I knew he was going to be good, but remember, the last thing we saw of him was not being all that awesome in the playoffs against the Chargers, and that was it. But we kept hearing, they've redone the entire offense around him.
Yes.
Greg Roman is going to do a fantastic job with him. And so I it shouldn't be that surprising, but listen, I'm on the edge of I'll believe it when I see it, and I saw it, I believe it. But yeah, no, it's surprising. He is beyond what I thought. So yeah, I'll buy that. All right,
I was having issues here. Hold on.
Okay, no problem.
To the opposite, the most disappointing team this season. I'm giving it a tie.
Go ahead.
Cleveland Browns, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, both of them. Cleveland? No. I won't go there. I won't go down that road. That's too easy. I agree with both of those. Dallas should have made the playoffs. Not only should Dallas have made the playoffs, they should have easily gotten 10 wins on the season. That should have been a double-digit win team. They weren't. I know they were dealing with some injuries, but not a zillion. They didn't lose Dak Prescott for 6 games like the Saints did. They didn't lose Dak Prescott for the entire season like Ben Roethlisberger when he was out in week 2. They should have won 10 games. If I'm Jerry, I'm just really angry. The Browns, though, I have a funny feeling with all that talent. They should have been good, but they wouldn't have been Ravens good. Even if that team was playing pretty well and winning games, they weren't. I don't think they would have been Ravens good. I will not give them a pass on a 6-10 season. That was abysmal. Yeah. So I agree with you. I'll buy both of those. Both of them are disappointing.
All right, the worst play of the year. The Dolphins' 2-point conversion try against the Redskins.
Yes,
to win the game.
We said it at the time. The Dolphins had a chance to win that game against the Redskins and called the most ridiculous 2-point conversion play in the history of the league.
It still makes me laugh.
What was that? I want to say it was like week 4 or 5.
Yeah.
All right. It was around then. At that point, anybody who said, no, they're not trying to tank. No, they're playing hard.
You would point to that play.
Yes, you could say, well, then explain this nonsense because this is ridiculous.
I mean,
I'm counting it now. It was week 5.
Yeah, we get, you know, if sometimes you try a running play at those situations. That was not the case.
No.
This was a inside screen passing play that had there was no blocker.
No chance. No blockers. No nothing. Blocker. Nothing. It was ridiculous. I laugh whenever I see it. It's so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you can picture it in your head. The guy just getting the ball and you're just like, oh, God, it's going to hurt.
God, what a dumb play. Still dumb. Now I'm getting more. Now I'm getting angry that they insulted our football intelligence, Ron, running that play.
Sticking with the Dolphins here, the craziest stat ever. And I'm not just saying 2019. This could be close to like all-time craziest stat ever. Ryan Fitzpatrick led the Dolphins in passing yards and rushing yards.
That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm looking it up now. He led the team with 242 rushing yards. What happened? I'm not in on the Dolphins week in and week out. What happened to their running game? Was it just a big old committee of people getting a chance to run one game and then move on to something else?
Apparently.
Is that how it worked?
It may not have been one game. It may have been one play.
Right.
Well, they let's went, try
no,
you.
No, no, nope. Come on. No, no. Come on in. We got it.
I'm just curious. Was there a public service announcement? Like, attention fans in the stands. You right. get to run the ball onto the field.
That's right. That's right. Mark Walton was the second guy on the team with 201 yards rushing.
Yeah, says you.
Now, I'm looking at now. Kenyon Drake, who left, he was 100. I mean, all these guys, none of them. All these guys played one game, six games, eight games, four games.
But, I mean, your main running back didn't rush for, I mean, that's the thing. Play if you could play four games, you would somehow fall into around 250 yards,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, easily. If you were the consistent back.
If you were the starting running back averaging about, you know, 15 to 20 carries a game.
Yeah.
In four games, it would just happen that you would get 250
exactly.
yards rushing.
Exactly.
No.
All right, here's one. Kalen Balji.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he had played 12 games for Miami. He ran 74 times. So he was handed the ball 74 times,
yep.
135 yards total.
God.
That is 1.8 yards a carry. All right, this was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 243 yards, was the Dolphins' leading rusher this season.
Craziest stat ever.
You can't make this up.
Moving on, the best comeback story, Ryan Tannehill.
Yes, yes. Because he was coming out. Where did he go to school? Texas Tech?
Yes.
Right? Texas Tech. He had a beautiful wife who had the AR-15 in the car. Yep, still does. Remember she had the rent-a-car with the assault rifle in it?
In fact, to be honest with you, before the show began, I had to look up how to spell Tannehill because I wanted to do him justice and get his name spelling right. And one of the first things that does pop up is Ryan Tannehill's wife. And like, you know what? I haven't seen her in a while. I got lost for a little bit.
Yeah, she's a very beautiful, beautiful
very
woman.
Attractive very attractive woman.
And she had an assault rifle in her car.
Yes.
He didn't make it on the Dolphins, was landed on Tennessee. Nobody here in Tennessee was happy about it.
Was cut for Josh Rosen and Fitzpatrick.
Nobody was happy about it because they knew Mariota was injury prone. So everyone thought, you know, Mario's the starter, obviously. But they were saying, well, he is injury prone. And if he's going to be injured, this is not the guy.
Yeah. Don't want him to be our backup.
Completely the opposite of what happened. Now everybody loves him. He's great. Changed the franchise. And as I said, and it's worth repeating, I'm a Steeler fan, but the playoffs are better with the Titans in it.
Yes, they are.
I wanted the Steelers to make the playoffs, but the Titans in the playoffs makes it a better AFC. So there you go. But yeah, great.
For this next one, you can call him Mr. Dependable, maybe Mr. Reliable, even Mr. Consistency. And that's going to go to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. All right. I'd say that. I mean, what was he, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving this year?
Yep.
Right? One of only a few players in the history of the league.
Third player in history.
Third player.
That if you needed someone, that's the person you rely on. And I'm looking at it as a Panthers team that was just in disarray.
Complete mess. What happened? Good Lord. They just spiraled out of control.
Well, that'll come up in a few here.
All right, one point they were 5-3.
Yeah, we'll
right, just put it that way.
We'll get to that in just a few. Best new character goes to Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, he was fun, wasn't he fun? I hope it lasts.
Even yesterday,
he's the guy. Yeah,
even yesterday he was fun.
They won that game. They shut out the Colts in the second half. They won that last game of the year.
And who would have thunk it? And that was, you know, possibly Doug Marrone's last game. So they finally really show up to play.
I've never had more fun talking about a quarterback of than we did with Gardner Minshew. Everything. And I think all the shows on the network were like that, because I know the boys in the afternoon had
across the country.
Uncle Rico on. I mean, it was just a fun story.
Yeah, I mean, Uncle Rico, he enjoyed Gardner Minshew mania.
Minshew mania, bandana, fake mustache, you can buy season tickets.
Yep.
But he was really, really fun. He really was great. Yeah. I hope he has a nice career.
Yeah, hopefully he sticks around.
Yeah, I do too.
Best in-season move, Broncos going with Drew Lock.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean,
I don't know if it's the best. Titans have the best move.
Well, I already gave him an award,
one,
I'm
right.
trying to spread it out. But I know at the time you weren't really high up on Drew Lock being chosen. In that first week, what was that against the? I can't remember who the Broncos were playing in that first game. When
I
remember you at first were like, oh God, you're going with Drew Lock. This isn't going to be great.
Don't dump him into a bad situation.
But hey, four wins out of five.
Yeah.
The remaining five games. That's impressive.
There is a different attitude. Again, this is what the NFL does really well, is that you can have a season where it didn't go your way, ball didn't bounce your way, you lost some close games. The Broncos finished 7-9, and they finished 7-9 because of what you just mentioned. They won four of their last five games. Now, 7-9, of course, doesn't get you in the playoffs, but it means you're building something and you're doing some things right. It took a little bit. Look, I thought Vic Fangio at the very beginning of the season was maybe he's in over his head, but it is 16 games, and throughout the 16 games, they are finding things that are working. They're finding things that are not working. I would not be surprised if next year they make a push towards the playoffs, may not get it, but I think they're not going to be the dead football team and by midseason that we saw this year.
Right. The worst in-season move, Panthers firing Ron Rivera.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I thought that could have waited till the end of the year. I know Dave Tepper wanted to go in a different direction, and I know why. I know it's philosophical, and it was not based on performance. It was just he has a vision for where he wants the front office to go. We talked about it at great length at the time. Ron Rivera does not fit that analytical approach that he wants to go with.
Right.
He's the owner. That's his team. This is not an indictment on Ron Rivera, and I know the seasons have gotten away from him, but it's more philosophical than it was angry fire coach. But why they did it at the time, they could have just rolled it and be done with it at the end of the
exactly.
year.
Exactly. That was the point I was going to make. You could do it now. You could do it today.
Right. Do it today.
Do it today.
Let him finish it out.
You probably would have ended up with a couple more wins.
That's right. That's right.
Because I don't even know who the interim coach was, but he's not going to be there.
No, he's not. Ron Rivera is a good coach, and he's going to land, I guess, with the Redskins. That's the report. We'll see
He's
going to
get swooped up quickly.
Quickly. He's a good coach. So.
He might get hired while others are getting fired.
That's right.
That's how quick
that's
it'll be.
That's right.
Death, taxes, and Jameis Winston.
There's nothing you can do about him. Look, I heard Tony Dungy say they need to cut the interceptions down. Well, tell me how, coach. What do you do? This is a guy who just does, this is what he does. This is what he's done since he got to the NFL. How are you going to change that? Dungy brought up Manning. He said, well, Manning threw a lot of picks early in his career, too. I don't think this guy can change. I think he's a gambler. He throws the ball where he throws the ball.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, you know, we all waited on bated breath for yesterday to happen, and he delivered.
And he delivered.
He delivered in the most epic fashion possible.
I love it. It's just, I think it's the funnest moment of the weekend.
It definitely was.
Just realizing, good Lord, you couldn't ask for a better ending to Jameis Winston's season.
Even he had to smile over a plate
sure.
of lobsters.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, when he was crabs. Right, when he gets the crab legs, he's like, yeah, all right, I get it. I get what people are having fun with.
That was funny.
All right.
Coach of the Year. It'll probably go to someone like John Harbaugh or Kyle Shanahan, but I'm going to throw another name out there.
Sure.
Brian Flores deserves a vote. I know we made fun of the Dolphins before, but given the last half of the season, what he did with what that team has.
You know what? There's a sentimental vote I would give to him because you're right. We brought this up today. This was a historically bad football team at the beginning of the season. This was a team that was going to set all the records for most points allowed, most points scored. Like they couldn't score and they were giving up million points. And it looked like this was the trend because it wasn't just the first game. It was the first 4 weeks of the season. And for now, they are a 5-11 football team like any other 5-11 football team in the history of this league. And there's been a billion of them. And they closed out as a team that would fight you. You may not beat them. I mean, they may not beat you, but they'll fight you. And that's a lot better than at the beginning of the season we thought they were laying down for everybody.
Yep.
So, yeah, Brian Flores did a great job.
He did.
Okay, last one on the buy or sell.
The last one, because I know you have an opinion on this. The real MVP of the 2019 NFL season is backup quarterbacks.
Backup quarterbacks is right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We talked about this so much, about going through the list of teams and saying, who is using a backup into what capacity? And it goes from guys getting benched to guys getting hurt. You know, the Steelers rotating two guys, Ryan Tannehill emerging as a legitimate star, mm-hmm. but Teddy Bridgewater, what he did for the Saints. Think about where the Saints are right now. If Bridgewater had gone 500 during that stretch, we may be talking talking about a different Saints team. Yeah, I mean, maybe the position doesn't change, but
yeah, that,
Atlanta wins a game or two. Yeah, Atlanta wins a game or two. All of a sudden, you know, they might even be a race, but it was not a race. But
then you're also talking about like the opponents he was playing against,
right?
I mean, he actually never faced Atlanta, but he did face the Panthers. He faced the Buccaneers.
Kyle Allen came with the Panthers. Mm-hmm. We saw
Gardner Minshew
emerge. We saw Luke Falk, a guy we never heard of, become the quarterback of the Jets.
Yeah, let's be honest.
And of course, the big one in New York, Daniel Jones, legitimately a backup at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
took over after week two and became the starter. You're right. You go through the list and you can start counting all of the times teams.
Broncos.
At some point. Broncos, right? Broncos.
I mean, now on to Drew Locke, who...
Does anybody remember Joe Flacco was the starting quarterback for the Broncos at the beginning of the season?
Wait, he was?
Yeah.
I thought it was Brock Osweiler.
So, week 17. All done. Have a good new year, everybody. It's SB Nation Radio.